Now, live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, J.P. Shadrick.
Yeah, that's right. They got the intro and everything. Last second fill-in today for Mike Dempsey. Fat Tony is out as well. Glad you're with us. Phone lines are open, 641-1010. Plenty to get to today. We'll hear from John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean in Nashville. We'll talk about the Tennessee Titans there at OTAs, and they've got some quarterbacks to go through in Nashville. And Ryan Davis, Jaguars defensive end. Actually, I guess he's technically defensive end by position, but he does line up on the inside, or will he? We'll ask Ryan Davis coming up in the second hour today. Mike Dempsey is not here today. He is in St. Augustine, but he's with us now. Mike, good morning.
How do I sound, JP? Do I sound lovely from the house?
You sound like $1 million down in down the next county south of us.
You know, some may say my car wouldn't start today. Others may say this could be a test run for never having to come into work again.
It's like a day off for you, right?
Well, I don't know. It's not really, because it's actually, you know, when I'm working, I'm done at noon. Now I've got to take the car in. I've got to deal with that all day. This is like a real person's work day. I'm not sure I like this kind of
thing. So what is the actual problem with the car,
Mike? Won't start.
Well, that's a problem.
That is a major problem. It makes a noise. The battery works. I had my good friends at USAA come by to give me the old jump start. Didn't work. The battery's nice good, JP. That's a bad sign. Battery's easy to replace. I don't know about all the rest of the stuff. So,
well, you know, that's step one in operating an automobile, is to start the car. And if you can't start the car, you can't drive the car.
Well, part of it was as well that, you know, you and I are contractually obligated to only see each other for like 20 days out of the year to work together. And I knew you were going to be around, and I thought, you know, I could do a little radio with JP, but it'd be better if we weren't in the same room. I think we all agree on that, don't you?
That's
particularly
fair.
You, I would think.
I don't know. I mean, only one person comes out alive. That's the way that I'm.
That's kind of how it goes, man. But I mean, look, what you've got, you've been out at OTAs. The only problem is you can't tell us what you've seen for the last 2 days.
Oh,
can
it's
you?
Been nice weather. I've sweated for 2 days. I lost a little weight. It's been nice. Now, I can tell you that the obvious thing out there the last 2 days, and they're on the field right now, by the way, for OTA number 3, is that Julius Thomas is the highest paid tight end in football for a reason. Mike.
Yes.
Boy.
Because he's good.
He's very good. And the soft hands, man. You just can't hear the ball hit his hands. That's really the thing that's kind of stood out on my end.
Just a scare with the bruise yesterday. Got kicked in the calf, huh?
Who hasn't been kicked in the calf?
I'll kick you in the calf right now if you'd like.
Well, you could, but your car won't start.
My car won't start. My leg's not that long, so I'll owe you one. But, yeah, that's just one of those. But, you know, I think everyone's tense right now based on the way rookie minicamp went. We all know with Dante Fowler Jr., Julius Thomas, probably the most high-profile guy that they signed this offseason, certainly, and just in terms of pure name recognition. The numbers he's put up, and you'll love to hear those early returns that he looks the part, like you're saying, like Johnny O told me yesterday. So everyone's going to take that deep breath when they hear anything with him getting kicked or limping off or any of those things. So fortunately, it was much ado about nothing.
And it'll be interesting. I talk to John Osier a lot. You know, obviously, we're in the same office and work on the same website. And all
have you seen that? Have you heard that show he does? He does that Jaguars.com live show. It's pretty good.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Occasionally, it's in the same studio. I think I've been in this room before. He and I have talked about Julius Thomas ad nauseum, really. But what the expectation is? Is it too high for him here? That's 12 touchdowns the last 2 years. How can you get 12 touchdowns here? You
that's
know,
a good
what's
question,
the expectation
right?
for him, you know?
Well, that kind of ties in, JP. That's almost a brilliant radio segue to the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day.
Ah,
right?
Hey.
Where we're going to ask folks to tweet
my first
you
rodeo.
Today. They can tweet me if they want. I know it's not your first radio rodeo, but tweet at JP Shadrick and use the hashtag Jaguars Today if you would, please. We mentioned last year, Blake, 11 touchdown passes, 17 interceptions. I mean, we understand the growing pains and all that went into that as a rookie. But we ask you to predict what those numbers will be in those categories for Blake this year. That's the Tom Bush Family Dealerships question of the day. But that's a good question, JP. Blake only threw 11. Julius Thomas is, you know, used to catching a dozen. We think with the improved offensive line, hopefully an improved running game with T.J. Yeldon, an improved passing game with the maturation of the young guys and the addition of a guy like Julius Thomas, that this team will find the red zone a lot more often than last year and hopefully have that payoff in some TDs. But I don't think anybody's expecting him to necessarily put up the numbers he put up in Denver just due to the nature of the offense. But I don't think 8 touchdowns, something in that ballpark, is out of the question. Do you?
I mean, well, think about this way. The franchise record for touchdown passes is what, like 23?
Correct.
24?
Correct.
I mean, that's doubling his output for Blake next year if he gets close to that.
Right.
And then half of those are going to be, or a third of those are going to be to Julius Thomas. There's a lot of other guys to throw to, too.
There are, but I think, you know, you typically have one guy that's going to lead the team, obviously, but to maybe get the lion's share. Got to believe he and Allen Robinson are going to be the most frequently targeted guys when they get to the red zone. So, you know, we'll see. I'm not going to get too hung up on the numbers, but I think Julius Thomas needs to be a threat that defensive coordinators need to game plan for every week. You know what I mean? I mean, a guy whereas maybe he benefited from having some other guys around him in Denver, he needs to be the guy that other people are benefiting from his presence this year.
Okay, Mike, let's hear your answer to your own Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question then.
Boy,
what do you got?
I'll go 20 and 15. I don't think 20 is out of the realm of possibility. I mean, he threw 11 last year. He started 13 games, right? He's going to come in. He's playing with all those rookies last year. I don't think, even though that's nearly double the output, I think that's a reasonable step forward for Blake Bortles, and he's still going to throw some picks, JP, so I'm not going to knock it down to 10. I'd like it to be 20 and 10, but I'll say 20 and 15, something in that range. If it's positive, it's a plus 5, I think that's a good step in the right direction for Blake. What about you?
That sounds about right. 20, 22, somewhere in there. Yeah, right around 20 would be ideal for the touchdowns, I think. Because, I mean, that's a huge jump from 11 to, you know, the franchise record.
Isn't it crazy, though, that after 20 years in today's modern NFL, that is the franchise record?
This franchise has been a running franchise. They haven't had a drop back, just wing it around, throw 35 touchdowns a year quarterback. They just don't – they haven't had that.
No, you're right. Even when they had
– even when Brunell was here.
You're right. When Jimmy and Keenan were at their height, Mark Brunell in 96 threw for 4,300 yards. They were in a lot of shootouts, but they had a good running game then as well. And, you know, Mark ran for several touchdowns that year, but I want to say he threw for like 17 in 96, something like that. And he had a combined 20 somewhere in that ballpark. But you're right. They haven't had that traditionally – wide open offense, but you'd think you'd stumble into a season where, right, where somebody would throw 25 in today's NFL.
Just by accident, you know, just by showing up to the yard, you get 25 in a season, it seems like these days. By the way, the Jaguars announced a statement today that Dante Fowler Jr. underwent knee surgery yesterday in Pensacola, Florida, under the knife of Dr. James Andrews, and that always seems to be a pretty good place to get surgery. If you're going to have surgery, I guess, right?
Yeah, you don't want surgery, but if you have to be cut on, you want it to be done by the best guy in the business, and he's the renowned guy. And that seems like a reasonable time frame, you know, to get that done. They have to let the swelling go down and get that all scheduled. So, I guess that's the one saving grace. You'd rather have it happen in May than have it happen in August or September, and you know, this year's a write-off, but there should be no reason Dante Fowler Jr. is not full strength, ready to hit next offseason and get his career started, unfortunately, a year late.
Yeah, and next year, but even just talking to folks around it, after an ACL tear like this, it's the second year after that comes back even stronger, and just the time frame of when this happened for him, he'll be closer to that second year than he will the first year after the actual surgery. So going into next season. So that's even better news.
No, absolutely.
Could be even stronger.
Yeah, I mean, look, not everybody's Adrian Peterson. We get spoiled when we see a guy like that come back as quickly as he did, as strong as he did. You know, they're more often the case, a guy like Geno Atkins, who, you know, plays on the defensive line in Cincinnati, who was maybe the best interior pass rusher in the league, and missed a year, then came back and really wasn't quite the same guy and kind of got stronger as that year went along. So, you know, you don't, everybody's different, but you're right about Dante. He'll have a, you know, an extra close to half a year to get that knee ready.
Mike Dempsey is with us down in St. Augustine. His car won't start today, but he still called in for the show, his own show today. That's fantastic, Mike. So what's the plan the rest of the day? Are you just going to call the mechanic, or are you just going to hang out? Or?
No, I'm gonna, well, I'm going to call the mechanic. I need a tow. I'm going to get a tow over down the street and get this bad boy worked at and see what kind of dent it puts in my my earnings for the calendar year. And got to get it done, man. That's a shame. It had to be the day, the one day when Tony is out on medical leave. He's getting an MRI on his shoulder. He's been crying about that shoulder all year.
Is he in Pensacola, too? He could have had breaking news. He could have just gone to Pensacola.
Seriously, just get it done. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he just had to wait for Dr. Andrews to be in Florida to get checked out. It's only the best for Tony, JP. We know that.
I'm not a mechanic, but I'm going to call it a starter. I think that's your
problem. Well, that's what I'm...
What is this? Is
that's
this car
what it sounds like, right? That when it doesn't start and it's not the battery, the starter is a good place to look. So, I don't know. The guy who came to give me a jump start said maybe I had some debris in my fuel intake. Or how do you know that from trying to give me a jump start? I have no idea.
You got dirty air in your tires, too. You
have I to could have that. I'm a little low. I'm going to get a couple of pounds of wedge put in there and probably just get a couple of right side tires and top it up with gas, and I'll be on my way.
Yeah. Jim Wyatt today, you had him scheduled. We'll talk to him coming up at about 10:35, 10:40, something like that. But, Mike, quarterback obviously is a big story in Tennessee this year with Mariota, and there's not really a competition, though they say there is a competition. Come on, Mariota's the quarterback. That's the biggest story around the Titans right now.
Oh, without question. I mean, and that's the – it's a situation, JP, where you know what, you can't play the young guy, right, to start the season. You can't play Mettenberger because what if he's good? You can play a journeyman. You can play Chad Henne last year in front of Blake Bortles because you know you've seen Chad Henne and he's not going to be the long-term answer. Even if he gets off to a good start, he's a placeholder. If Mettenberger, your second-year guy, came in and looked fantastic, keeping in mind he had a 300-yard game last year, that almost puts you in a bind, right? Because you want to get that new guy on the field, and I fully expect that, you know, barring anything catastrophic this offseason, that's who's going to open the season as a starter, and as long as he's healthy, it's the Marcus Mariota era now in Tennessee.
Mike, well done, and we might call upon you a little bit later, but we will check in on that Tom Bush Family Dealerships question a little bit later as well, and good luck with the mechanics.
Listen, I already knew that you were the man. I haven't worked with you this past season, but you are truly the man for saving our bacon on late notice today. So thank you, and to all of Jaguar listenerdom out there, treat JP very well today, but not too well, because I will be back.
I am the saver of bacon, yes.
Thank you, sir.
I'll take that. Mike Dempsey, the host of Jaguars Today on Jaguars Today. We'll come back in a moment. John Osier will join us. Jaguars.com senior writer and a special guest, Frank Frangie, the voice of the Jaguars, will step in for just a moment. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues from Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey. Fat Tony is getting a shoulder MRI today in Pensacola. Dr. James Andrews really actually is. Of course, James Andrews had the surgery yesterday
for
Dante Fowler Jr. And that's John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. And across the table, Frank Frangie, the voice of the Jaguars, is here as well. And this is...
We're pulling out all the stops.
I'm intimidated right now by both of you guys.
I asked you this when we walked in, though. Did you get your eight and have to go? Did you get as many as you needed? I mean, you came out of the bullpen not loose here, I would think, on this, right?
Yeah, well, no. I'm very, very tight. My knees are sore like Gibson. I had to warm them up the last 2 hours.
Right.
You been in the locker room taking swings?
Yeah.
All right.
Taking some hacks, trying to get loose. What's up? This is day three of OTAs. John, we'll start with you. The impressions of the first couple of days. I mean, what do you really see out there in 2 days worth of work?
Well, again, there's a limit to how much we can really say in terms of starters and all that. I think most people listening understand that that's something we can't talk about a whole lot. But what Gus has talked about a lot and what is just obvious to anybody watching is that as little as I put faith in free agency, Julius Thomas looks like a big-time player who is going to help at more than just the tight end position. He looks like a guy you're going to have to game plan for. He looks smooth. He looks veteran. He looks like you wish every big-time free agent you signed looked.
And you know what's cool about that, too, John? There's a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get a buzz in May, you know, even but there's a little bit of a buzz about him. We're all and like John said, and like you know, JP, this is a closed workout to the fans, so we're not going to talk about plays or positions or depth charts, but we can talk about who caught our eye. Mm-hmm. That's why we're out there, really. And all the media is buzzing about one guy. Everybody in the media, did you see him catch? Did you see that? Did you see this? Did you see that? I was trying to think, John, about the last time there's been a guy that we buzzed about. Now, everybody buzzed about Bortles last year because there were 6,000 people watching
right.
the minicamp, and he was a quarterback. But
right.
it wasn't as much what he was doing is he was here.
Not at that point. That
right.
didn't happen until the preseason.
Right.
Yeah,
it was more the buzz that he was here. Hey, there's
right.
the future, and he's here. This buzz is about what you see the guy do. So that part's pretty cool, I think.
And what's kind of interesting is I don't think you can tell much from linemen at this point, but from talking to people who maybe can tell some, Jared Odrick and Jeremy Parnell aren't catching passes.
Right.
So it's harder for us to really see anything during OTAs, but they certainly look the part. And you certainly get a feeling that at those three spots, which is where they wanted to improve in free agency, those were the target spots, that they felt like they got guys that they wanted. That they wanted free safety and wide receiver too, but didn't hit on those. But they hit on Odrick, they hit on Parnell, and they hit on Thomas. Those were the guys they wanted. And there's a good feeling about those guys. I don't think you'd expect a bad feeling about it, but it's certainly a buzz.
JP, Parnell looks like a basketball player, doesn't he?
Well, he used to be one.
Yeah, I know. But for people that don't know, he played more basketball than football at all.
A really big, heavy basketball player.
But he does, doesn't he? He's a big, angular yeah. guy. And Odrick looks like a man. He's,
yeah.
Here's what he did. He came here and cut off the sleeves. Okay?
Right.
He already looks like a man.
I went with that look once, and they asked me to stop.
We told you to put him back.
Right.
Okay, so go back to the – OJ's one guy who said go back to
that
the
That was
sleeves.
My instinct. Yeah. It was a bad instinct.
And the quarterback yesterday told him that he could do some squats.
Right.
In the
I can do squats, yeah. but I just can't get back up.
That's the issue,
too. That's my issue.
We were talking to Mike about this earlier, about Julius Thomas. And you and I have talked about this, John, a good bit. The expectations for him
yep.
here have to be tempered a bit from what he did in Denver with 12 touchdowns each of the last 2 years when Blake threw 11 last
right.
year and the franchise record is, what, 23 or
24? Just percentage-wise, if he catches, he caught, I guess, about a quarter of Manning's touchdown passes over the last 2 years.
Right.
Well, that total is about 100. Well, I think anybody would be very happy if Bortles threw 25 or 26. That'd be a record, and it'd be very good, put it that way.
Yes.
So I don't think you can expect Julius Thomas to catch half of those. So I think he'll have a number between, 5 and 8 is a realistic, would be a really good year. I don't concern myself quite as much with numbers as I think this is a guy that other teams are going to have to focus on a great deal, and it's going to make guys around him better too. I don't see any way in the world right now if he's healthy that they're not a better offense because of it.
Yeah, forget his numbers from before. He played with Peyton Manning.
Right.
So forget those numbers. How much better does he make the Jaguar stat sheet overall? Are the Jaguars going to score more touchdowns? Yeah, probably. Are the Jaguars going to score more points? Yes. Are the Jaguars going to win more games? That's the thing. But I'll go back to the thing we said a minute ago, and both you guys have been around here forever, too. Hey, how many stars, legitimate stars, have fans had to get excited about? Okay, Maurice Jones-Drew was a clear star. I mean, back in the day, there were a bunch of them.
Sure.
But since the early days, Maurice Jones-Drew was a clear star,
mm-hmm.
no question. Sanderic Marks is evolving into a wonderful player. He's got a good number. He's a charismatic guy. He's a good player. But I'm trying to think. This is a team that has lacked stars.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, JP, looks like he's going to be a star the minute they go on the field. And all teams need stars. Fan bases need stars.
Right.
Guys trying to sell the tickets need stars. And certainly you get the feeling that Julius Thomas is that.
I think he's ready for that role. He's talked about that a lot. But I also think he's taking the approach off the field. He doesn't seem to be overdoing it in the locker room, if you will. I think if he comes in and he's a star, he'll handle it the right way. I don't think there'll be guys looking and going, what's he about? Why is he doing this? I think he's taking the right approach. It doesn't strike you that he's overbearing. I think it'll be accepted well. And if he's scoring touchdowns, then I don't care if it's accepted well. It's fine.
That's true. What did your J.P. Shadrick filling in for Mike Dempsey today on Jaguars Today? John Osier, Frank Frangie with us now. What was your reaction to Mercedes Lewis and his comments the other day? What did you make of his reaction to all the questioning about Thomas? And
I thought he probably handled it about as well as he could. I mean, I think deep down, you know, there's got to be some pride there. It can't be the easiest thing in the world to have had to take a pay cut. And he's been the guy at that position for 10 years around here. So I think he wanted to be here. I think that's sincere. And I think he handled it fine. I don't think he was real thrilled with having to answer questions about all of a sudden sharing the role and taking a pay cut. That's a tough day when you come back and you're sort of facing that for the first time. But at this point, I think him and Julius will get along fine. I think they'll make the tight end position better. And I think it was just sort of a tough day that he handled okay, and I don't think it'll be remembered very long.
You know what's funny about that, John? I was in, and I think he handled it fine too, by the way. I agree with you. Think about what this guy's going through. He was a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
This was a first-round draft pick from whom huge things were expected. Then in the contract year, had the huge year.
Right.
So he's a first-round draft pick who has had a very good year. Now suddenly he's the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden you look up and he's the tight end they're not talking about. So I get that.
He's always the guy who's worked, right? It's not like he's been a lazy guy.
Right, he's
or
a good
bad guy.
He's a good guy.
And all that. So it's really just sort of a circumstance.
Yeah, that's right. But you're right. He's a good guy. He's been easy to deal with. He's worked hard. But again, what jumped out at me is hearing what Julius Thomas said about him.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the quotes that you guys had and then looking Julius in the eye yesterday when he said it,
mm-hmm.
when he said, look, I went to this guy. I want to play with you, man. Right. I respect what you've done in the league. It's hard to be in the league as long as you have, and I want us to do this together.
I think that's the key right there.
Yeah,
I think that's a sincere appreciation because players do understand 10 years in this league and still a physically imposing guy who can be productive is impressive.
John, when I heard that he said all that stuff and when I heard that he called and reached out to Mercedes after signing and all the comments, I thought, okay, this is a smart guy saying the politically correct things. Without ever having met Julius Thomas, just hearing him, I thought it's a smart guy who was saying the right things. Telling you, looking in his eyes yesterday, it was very sincere. I mean, we watched him. We were all three in there. Looking in his eyes when he said that, he meant that. He said, look, I respect this guy. I know how hard it is. And I really want us to work together. I'm telling you, I'm overwhelmingly impressed by this guy, Julius Thomas. I really am, on the field and off.
All that's really cool. But I've been saying...
You got to be a downer. I created some momentum there.
Here's the
I created
ozone.
Some positivity.
No,
why are you going to ruin that?
I'm not going to drown on that.
We were rolling right there.
Now
you're going to jump in here.
Just crush dreams.
But I've been saying
Smirk for 30 years. I know the smirk, okay?
I've been saying for a long time that what this team needs, and it's obvious, we talked about it, is the star power. And what it really needs is guys who other players know are good.
Right.
And who sort of keep an eye on them in practice and come off the practice field going, hey, see what that guy just did? Julius Thomas looks like that kind of a guy. And again, I can't emphasize enough, yes, that's what you expect when you sign a free agent for that kind of money. That's the expectation. How often have we seen that not be the case, though? For him to be that guy is so critical and so unusual and, you know, frankly, so neat to be talking about right now if you're a Jaguars fan.
Are you playing any golf?
No, you have some
sweet golf clothes. I'm kind of a golf clothes guy.
I haven't played golf in about 48 years.
But he's got good golf clothes, though. You ever notice that, JP? He's a good
golfer.
Yeah.
We have the same taste.
Good golf clothes.
I had a nickel for every time somebody said, hey, John, that's a good-looking shirt.
You have good golf clothes.
I have a couple of nickels.
Yeah, you have good golf clothes. I've said that before.
I don't get praised that much from fashion.
Great.
I'm just saying.
Have a big day for me.
Last day of OTAs for the first week. So it sounds like they're going to in practice a little bit earlier than normal today,
yep.
Probably about nice 10 after 11. So you want them to go full speed. Week one in the books, you heard from Gus yesterday, and he kind of wants to press them a little bit today to see how this group reacts to three straight days of in the heat for the first time, I guess.
Yeah, and that's about as much as you can get out of OTAs. I mean, it's you want to keep some perspective on this, just like with Chris Clemens, you want to keep perspective on what this means, because I think we talked about in the field the other day, Frank, 15 years ago, OTAs weren't a big deal. Nobody talked about it.
Right.
So this is still time that is limited in importance in terms of drawing any sort of evaluation, but certainly the coaches want to see how guys respond. And I think it's critical for this team in a sense that won't make headlines, but there's still a lot of new guys, and this team has to come together, and time on the field, reps, swings in the cage, so to speak, are going to matter for these guys, because it's going to be a very new team that needs to get to know each other.
Yeah, together is the best. That's right. The last thing you said in the word together, it's the first time.
Yeah.
It's the first time they've...
There's going to be 8 or 9 new starters.
Yeah, and this, football, all sports teams are about a culture. What's the culture? What's the locker room like? The Oakland A's back in the day were rowdy guys. Gus has set a culture. Well, you got to get them all together. I think that's, JP, as much as anything, is about having all these cats together in the same locker room, knowing how everybody responds, knowing how people work out, and so I think that's what they're getting out of it.
You cats, that's kind of a 70s word. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, though. I love the shirt. Right. So I don't care what anybody says.
Here, do you want the shirt, Frank? Yeah,
no,
what are you
no,
getting
no,
at?
Leave it on, John. Leave it on. Don't take
yeah,
it off.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Leave
I tell you what.
How many hints can
if
you drop?
Hey, John, if I want it, get it to me later.
All right. Okay, good.
Get to later.
Yeah. Please, not here.
Yeah, I'm going to take a picture of the shirt.
I'm glad we're on radio.
Joe, should I take a picture of the shirt?
Guys, thanks a lot. John, enjoy practice today. I'll talk to you after.
Good luck. Flying solo.
Thank you, Frankie. Thank you for
anytime, JP. Anytime. Good to be here.
Frank Frangie and John Osier joining us on Jaguars today. Plenty left to get to. Phone lines are open, 641-1010. When we come back, Jim Wyatt, beat writer for the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessean in Nashville, will join us. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues. JP Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey, who is speaking to a mechanic somewhere in the St. Augustine metro area. Fat Tony is out today as well. Glad you're with us. Phone lines are open, 641-1010. We'll get to your calls coming up. Thanks to John Osier for joining us, Frank Frangie as well. And Mike Dempsey was on a bit earlier today. That music means we speak with the enemy. We go to Nashville, Tennessee. Beat writer for Titans football for the Tennessee and Jim Wyatt. Been covering the team since they moved to Nashville, and it's good to have him on with us today. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry to hear Mike's having trouble with his Lamborghini this morning.
They're like a wild animal. They're very tough to like a thoroughbred, really. One little thing, and they won't run, you know? So it's good to have you on. Let's start with the quarterback. Obviously, everybody's talking quarterback in Nashville. It's not really a battle. I mean, Mariota's the guy. Right? That's the way it's got to be when you draft a guy that high.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I think certainly Zach Mettenberger wishes that not the case, but, they've been very upfront and clear from the very beginning that when you pick a quarterback at number two in the draft, you're going to try to do everything you can to put him in a position to be a starter right out of gate, and that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, Ken Whisenhunt has not made a secret of that being his plan, and I think everyone in the locker room, regardless of whether guys respect Mettenberger, enjoy being his teammate, that's what they're going to do. So now the plan is to try to do everything that you can to get him ready for Tampa Bay in week one, where he'll be facing Jameis Winston.
From what you've seen so far, how has he handled huddles?
Well, it's hard to, I mean, we've only seen him 2 days of OTAs and, not doing a lot of huddling. I mean, he's certainly working some out of, taking a snap and working some, certainly in a shotgun that he's familiar with. They're just trying to get him, more comfortable, whether it's his footwork or whether it's, getting plays in. He's got so much that's new to him right now. Unfortunately, for the Titans and for Mariota, I guess, and then for probably any team that wants to try to get a rookie up to speed, they've got the NFLPA rookie premiere today in Los Angeles, and Mariota left town last night, won't be back here till Sunday, so that kind of slows him down a little bit as far as, trying to get up to speed. But it's just kind of a process, and it's going to be a process here over the next couple of months.
Jim Wyatt is with us from the Tennessean in Nashville. How has Mettenberger kind of handled all this?
Well, I thought, he's disappointed. I think Mettenberger, he wouldn't completely tell you what they told him at the end of last season. I think Mettenberger probably felt like he was going to be in position to start this year, and I think he was probably doubtful that they would take a quarterback with the number two pick. But you know, the way this process played out, and I think the way it plays out a lot of times when teams start looking into quarterbacks in the draft, you fall in love with a guy and you start envisioning yourself with him and how it might work. And even if a guy maybe was deemed not a great fit in January or February, once you start doing your homework on him, then your mindset can change a little bit. So, you know, Mettenberger disappointed. You know, he says he plans to compete. Talking to him since this happened, I think he certainly feels like he knows the writing is on the wall and knows the position he's in, but he plans to continue to work hard. The way this thing went for this team last year, I mean, they went from Locker to Whitehurst to Mettenberger back to Whitehurst, then to Mettenberger, and then eventually back to Whitehurst again. I mean, they had so many injuries, so there's a good chance Mettenberger will get a chance to play. So he just got to stay in it. You know, he can't gripe too much because, you know, went 0-6 in the games he started. He left twice with shoulder injuries. While he showed some promise, you know, it's hard to say he did enough to convince them not to pick a quarterback. And I think he probably realizes he's got some work to do to convince people he is a starter in this league.
Jim Wyatt is with us from the Tennessean in Nashville at J Wyatt Sports, JWYATT Sports on Twitter. New receiver, Doriel Green Beckham. How's he settled in so far, and are his troubles behind him, you think?
Well, you know, the troubles that I think you're referring to maybe remain, you know, time will tell on those. I mean, he had he's got a past, you know, dating back to his days at Missouri, that certainly raised some eyebrows, and the Titans certainly had to investigate. And we'll see if he can, if those are behind him. I think the Titans feel like they are. You know, what he's dealing with now is a hamstring injury that's kept him from practicing. I mean, he tweaked the hamstring during the rookie mini camp a couple weeks ago, and then he kind of re-aggravated it during the first day of OTA. So, haven't seen him on the field really to know how he's settling in, and he's another one of these guys that's headed to the rookie premiere in Los Angeles for the rest of this week. So slow start to Doriel Green Beckham's NFL career, but they like what they see in him. He's a big guy, 6'5", about 237 right now. They want him to get down to 225 and get in a little bit better shape, but he physically he certainly looks the part.
So I'm 0-2 on guys that are actually at practice, by the way. So Jim Wyatt is with us from the Tennessean in Nashville. I'm going through your Twitter, and Daquan Jones is now a starter at defensive end. And he started with the last game of last season and played well, and now LeBeau's got him starting, at least in May.
Yeah, it's early, but they're going to give him an opportunity, which he didn't get a lot of last year. He was inactive, you know, a good chunk of last season. He got a chance to play at the end of last year, and they thought he played well. I mean, he's a big, sturdy guy, who they believe will complement, you know, Jarrell Casey on the other side. They've got some depth on the defensive line. They were not very good in the run game last year. I think they want to get, you know, a little bit bigger, a little bit sturdier up front, and I think it'll be interesting to see how Jones does the rest of this offseason and then when the season starts, whether he can make them better at that position.
I'm always interested in hearing the perspective of the Jaguars from inside the division elsewhere. I'm putting you on the spot here, but what is the view, your view of what the Jaguars have done and what they look like right now?
Well, I think, I mean, they've been, even during their lean years, and it's just tough for the Titans to talk about lean years because they've had plenty of lean years themselves. I mean, the Titans 2-14 last year and picking second in this draft, so they can't turn their nose up at anyone, and especially, you know, a Jaguars team that had its share of success against them, even when they've had some down years. Looking at Jacksonville from afar, I like what they did in free agency. I like what they did in the draft. I hated to hear the news about Dante Fowler because I think he's going to be an impact player, and you know, he's a guy that certainly intrigues them here. But even without him in the equation, I just think I just think what they were able to do in free agency and the rest of the draft should make them better. I think they've got a really good head coach. I hear good things about. I like the process that they've taken here to try to kind of build the team. I think it's a team certainly on the rise, and I think that's what makes it tough for the Titans is while people around Nashville are excited and think that they've gotten better with the draft and the free agency, you look around the division, I think the Colts are going to keep getting better. I think the Texans are improving. I think Jacksonville's improving. And, if you ask me, I think right now Titans and Jags are competing for the third spot behind those other two teams. And if things go well, I mean, teams get hot and get confidence early on. Maybe they can shake the division up. But I still see Colts and Texans as 1-2, and I think Jacksonville, Tennessee, competing for third. But I think Jacksonville certainly has some upside, and certainly a team Titans could have trouble with again.
I know it's a new crew there, new coaching staff as of the last year or so, but they miss Cindric Marks at all in Nashville?
I miss Cindric Marks. I mean, I think this regime is a little bit different. I mean, Ken Wisenhunt wasn't around Cindric Marks. He was gone by the time Wisenhunt got to town. Rustin Webster, certainly, I know Cindric kind of kidded us on a conference call last year that I think he feels like Rustin Webster maybe could have done more to keep him in Tennessee. It was just, the way things went and it's kind of a changing defense. They probably didn't value him like they should have and things never worked out. But Cindric, one of the more popular guys in the media, one of my favorites, just because of his big personality and just the way he plays the game. I mean, he's a hardworking guy who his teammates really like and enjoy being around. And you like to have guys like that on the team. And I know Cindric, tough luck with the knee injury, but I know he's come back from that and certainly a guy that, I think one of the more underrated players in the National Football League.
Yeah, he hasn't changed a bit, Jim. Let's put it that way. Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean in Nashville joining us. Thanks for coming in. By the way, Mike says it's a Honda Gini, not a Lamborghini.
Oh, okay.
So whatever that is, I've never heard of that one. But we appreciate your time today, Jim. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, have a good one. Thanks.
Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean in Nashville with some insight on the Tennessee Titans, quarterback issues the last year or so, more than that in Nashville. But maybe, just maybe, they have secured something for the future in Tennessee with the Titans. We'll come back in a moment with this date in football history, Honda Drive around the NFL, your calls as well, 641-1010. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Well, it's May, so not much happens in football history except for OTAs, I guess, the last decade or so. That's about it. So it doesn't really register on the Richter scale of history. But there are some birthdays today. Today in 1888, one of the inaugural class, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was born. That class was 1963, by the way. 17 players were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. But Jim Thorpe was born today in 1888, died in 1953. And, of course, Thorpe voted the greatest athlete of the 20th century by ABC Sports. And you can name the list of others. And actually, he's from Oklahoma originally, and in the Oklahoma City area, the Thorpe Association each year gives the award for best defensive back in college football. And they have a huge banquet there of nearly 1,000 people at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. Big banquet room there, and they honor the recipient each and every year through the Thorpe Association. Today in 1963, Eugene Robinson played in three straight Super Bowls with Green Bay. He was born. But he was arrested for soliciting a prostitute the night before Super Bowl 33. But it was hours after he was named the Athletes in Action BART Star Award winner, given annually to a player who exemplifies outstanding character and leadership at home, on the field, and in the community. He was in the community, I guess, by definition, but and in action. Yes, but Eugene Robinson, born today. 1986, The Blind Side. Michael Orr, he's 29 years old. And a guy a lot of folks around here know, born in 1988, Percy Harvin. Harvin, born today. And that's this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, JP, another day, another Ray McDonald arrest, his second arrest in less than 72 hours. Police in California arrested former Chicago Bear and San Francisco 49er at 5:30 local time yesterday in Southern California for violating a restraining order which was issued as a result of his arrest back on Monday. Now, wow. If you don't remember, McDonald was booked on suspicion of domestic violence and child endangerment as a result of his early morning altercation with a former fiance. He was also the mother of the child. According to the police report, he tried to strike the woman while she was holding the baby. McDonald's attorney told ESPN's Josina Anderson last night that McDonald was never served a restraining order. It's a little bit of confusion there, although he was told to stay away from the former fiance's residence. His attorney also said that before going to the house, McDonald was also told that the woman was not there, so not really sure why he was arrested, but a little confusion there, but he did go to jail for the second time in 72 hours. And also, the Texans, if you have not heard, will be the next subject of the HBO documentary series Hard Knocks. This marks the first time the Texans are the subject of the show produced by NFL Films, which chronicles training camp. JP, how excited are you for the Texans on Hard Knocks?
Oh, I'm over the top. Tyler, that's it's exciting. You know, I've never watched a full season of Hard Knocks. It's embarrassing to say, actually. Haven't had HBO for the longest time.
That's me either. I'm right there with you
now. It's in the division. That'll be fun. J.J. Watt talks a lot, so that'll be entertaining. Maybe Tanya Ganguly. Maybe they'll mic her up for some of the segments. Right? I mean, she's covering the Texans now. No, there's a lot going on in Houston. That'll be good to you. By the way, Tyler, you said Ray McDonald was arrested again. They told him to stay away from the residence, right?
They told him to stay away from the residence.
And he still went to the residence.
And he still went there. But I guess his alibi is, hey, I don't have a restraining order, so legally...
They told him not to go to the residence.
Exactly, and he was told that...
So don't go to the residence.
I mean, I can understand that he was told that she would not be there. I guess he did go there to try and get photographs of a broken door with his lawyer, but... I mean, if you're told not to go to the residence, the scene of a crime, you were just there on Monday, don't go back there. Don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. Well, he's out of a job now, sounds like. The Bears have obviously come out and said, hey, and McCaskey say, hey, this is my decision to get him, and now they're, you know, hey, what do you do, you know?
Is he done?
Give him a chance?
Is he done in the league now for you?
I guess so, right. Who's going to take that hit now?
Fourth arrest since August.
Who's gonna do that? I don't think anybody in their right mind can actually overcome that politically and in the public eye if they actually sign that. I mean, that's maybe a great player and everything, but it won't be in this league, I don't think. I think he's done. I mean, you gotta be, right? If it all goes, if it's all, even if he's not convicted or whatever happens next.
Do you
He's
fault the Bears?
Public eye.
Do you fault the Bears for giving him a second chance, or possibly even a third chance, so to say, technically?
Well, I mean, that's up to the Bears. I think you'd have to ask them. Everybody deserves a second chance, I think, but there's a point where it becomes a pattern, obviously, and this is more than just a pattern. It seems like so. Let's get happy, okay? Texans on Hard Knocks. Why aren't the Jaguars on Hard Knocks, Tyler?
That'd be cool to see, right? You know, you see Josh Scobie, little
so.
Blake Bortles.
I don't think so. If you ask a football operations office, do they want it? No. Well, I don't think anybody wants it on the football side. Now, the fans would be great. You get to see, Fowler's rehab. You get to see... Chris Clemens interacting with the line guys when he's here. You get to see Blake Bortles, second-year quarterback. Julius Thomas, how do they mesh together? The whole thing. Scobie playing golf, whatever he does. But I think any football side in their right mind in the NFL does not want this at all. But you can't turn it down. If you qualify for it and they ask you to do it, I guess the rule is you can't turn it down, right?
The team has the opportunity for, you know, sole editing power, so they actually control what goes on the show, correct?
You're right. And the PR office, I think, gets it the day before it debuts. And they can whack this or that. They can't cut the whole show, obviously. You have to have some kind of show. But they can go through and make sure there's no competitive things getting out there, you know, formations and all that. And it's something that on Jaguars.com you even have to watch for. Certain periods of practice are not able to be shot by media, and that's a big reason why. So, yeah, I think they do have the final say. But you can't just say, I don't know, this whole show stinks, you know?
Right. Hey, a quick tidbit of news coming across on Twitter, this one coming from Ryan O'Halloran. Third OTA is officially over, according to his tweet. Julius Thomas sat out today.
Okay, yeah, he was kicked in the calf yesterday. I don't know if you've ever been kicked in the calf, Tyler, but it doesn't feel great.
Pretty bad, right?
I guess. I haven't been really kicked in the calf, but I'm sure it doesn't feel great. Joe Fortunato in with us threatened to come kick me, you know, and I could feel how it feels. So I don't think that's a huge deal. He talked to the media yesterday after it happened. So why force him to run out on the field the third straight day of OTAs? He's the highest paid tight end in football. He showed the first couple of days what he can do. Let the guy sit out a day. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that for me. So, and they said, like we said earlier, the practice would be done a little bit early today. Which is good news. Actually, Ryan Davis will join us in studio coming up probably a little earlier than we expected now that practice is over. But, yeah, Julius Thomas out today. I really wouldn't read too much into that. You know, you mentioned something earlier off the air, Tyler, about Dante Fowler Jr. over in Pensacola. But he wasn't the only one over in Pensacola getting his knee worked on yesterday, in the NFL at least, right?
Yeah, Jeff Huerman, exactly the next day after Fowler tore his ACL, a third-round pick for the Broncos tore his, and they're both pictured at James Andrews' office getting surgery yesterday.
Yeah, Dante retweeted a photo of him and Jeff Huerman together in the waiting room, it looks like. That's obviously before surgery, because both of them are awake and smiling. Interesting. You know, all these guys go in the same time, a lot of the same places, and get it done. Another note about James Andrews, by the way. He is the team doctor. This is I'm an Alabama guy, so this is an Alabama story. But he is the team doctor, a team orthopedist, for both the University of Alabama and Auburn University football teams, right? So on game days, on Saturdays, well, he can't be both places at once if they're playing different times. If they're playing at the same time, he'll pick a game, go to it, whatever, that's fine. But if they're playing separate times, he'll go to both games. He'll have a helicopter waiting nearby the stadium, humping the chopper after the Alabama game at noon or whatever, and then fly to Auburn or wherever Auburn's playing and go on the sideline there. We've seen it happen. And when they play each other in the Iron Bowl, he's in the corner with neutral colors on. He sits on a golf cart kind of over by himself, and if something happens, he goes to whatever sideline he's on. So, interesting little note. And he's done very well in his career, I believe.
Best in the business, right?
I guess so. I mean, everybody's going to him. That started in, like, the mid-90s, I guess, early mid-90s, and when he was with Health South in Birmingham. And then, of course, the last few years, he's gone out on his own and moved down to Pensacola. And it just keeps growing and growing. It's every sport. It's baseball, pitchers, it's knees, it's everything. And pro wrestlers go there sometimes. It's more than just football. And it's really changed the game. Changed a lot of games, what he's done over the last number of years. Let's go to the phone lines now. Fred is on the line, 641-1010. What's up, Fred?
Hey, JP. Just wanted to give you a shout-out. I was trying to get a beer at the draft party, and he just happened to walk by. And I said, hi to you. And he turned around and talked to me for at least a minute or two.
I remember. And, yeah, how are you, man?
And I'm doing fine. And who do you think is going to replace Fowler now that he's out?
Good question, and good to talk to you again. I hope you got that beer okay, by the way.
I did. It only took 40 minutes.
Well, we'll work on that moving forward. Well, it's Chris Clemens is the veteran guy. He's not in camp right now. He's not here. It's a voluntary period. So, I mean, he led the team in sacks last year. He's a 12th-year veteran. You would expect him to jump right in. It's a big year for Andre Branch, too. Remember him, former second-round pick. Got hot at the end of last year, and he's got to step up when he's out on the field because Clemens is not going to play every snap. They rotate that position through. And you got Chris Smith, late-round draft pick last year out of Arkansas, a guy who, you know, might get some time if you know, if they keep three guys at that position. Ryan Davis is more of an inside type of guy now, it seems like, in that lightning package. We'll have Ryan in here coming up. But to answer your question, Fred, it's Chris Clemens is the number one guy, but everybody will get some time over the next, with Fowler out. And it's unfortunate he's out, obviously. So who would you like to see more of, Fred? Oh, Fred's gone. He's out of here. He's back in the beer line. That's okay. A little beer with lunch. Good to speak with Fred. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to one of those defensive ends. Ryan Davis scheduled to join us in studio. And plenty left to get to today. Phone lines are open, 641-1010. J.P. Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony today. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Four-man front for the Jaguars. Straight drop for TJ. Looking to the left. He's going to run out of time and be sacked. All the way back at the one-yard line, Ryan Davis got him. Sack time for the Jaguars.
Sack time for the Jaguars, indeed. Jaguars today continues. J.P. Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony. Before we get to Ryan Davis, by the way, we were mentioning the rookie premiere, the NFLPA rookie premiere with Jim Wyatt earlier today from the Tennessee, and we talked about a couple of the Titans gone. Well, T.J. Yeldon and Rashad Green from the Jaguars are in L.A. for the NFLPA rookie premiere. Now, Ryan Davis, Jaguars defensive end, is with us in studio. Practice is over early today. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Great. And you have a big smile on your face because practice is over early, right?
Yes, yes. Practice is over early, and the weather was great today. So.
Now, the first day out on Tuesday, we were standing out there, I don't run around during practice, but I was still sweating bullets
right out
there.
It was very humid out there, yeah. So today was like, it was love. Today the weather was perfect.
It was love.
Yes, it was love.
I say that all the time too. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So three practices in. What has changed on defense? Not much has changed on defense, right?
Yeah. I mean, not much has changed, but you know, we have some great additions. You know, so far with you know, with Jared and of course Dante. But you know, I think so far like, everything's been going good so far. Like the effort and tempo is up, and I think I'm excited. We're excited about going into training camp.
What has Jared brought so far that you've seen?
Shoot, man.
Jared Audrey.
Jared, man. He's a solid run stuffer, man. When you watch him, just a strong man. So he just adds that strength and, you know, that guy we need to set the edge and stuff like that. So, but Jared's been fun to watch so far.
Ryan Davis is with us live in studio on Jaguars today, right after the third OTA practice out of 10. You're still on the inside. That's going to be your role, and you like that role because you like the speed against guards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I embraced it, you know. You know, definitely, you know, if we can use, you know, my quickness over, you know, guys on the inside, I'm all for it. You know, playing Leo and playing inside, it's fun. You know, I'm not going to lie about that. You get to go against, you know, the guard sometimes. So it's cool.
If you had to balance last year, how much time you played inside as to how much time you played at Leo? What would it be, more inside than Leo?
No, I played Leo more, you know, when Branch went down. You know, it was Clem and then me, you know, and then on third down and now going.
Third down you go and on lightning
and stuff,
right?
Like, yeah. So, but I played Leo more last year and, it'll probably be similar to what, you know, I'll do this year. So I'm excited about it.
The Leo spot's interesting because Clem's now in his, what, 12th year coming up?
I think so. Something like that. Something like that.
12th
yeah.
year. Andre Branch is a big year for Andre.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A big year for you.
Yep.
Chris Smith still around,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Young guy. It's a good group of Leos right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty solid group. And, you know, I think we all are excited. And we know what's at stake here. And we know what we got to do this year to, you know, be better than last year. Make no mistakes about it. We're all about getting better. But, you know, we want to win, you know, overall. So that's what we're doing. We're preparing every day. So we can, you know, reach that goal of, you know, getting some W's on Sunday.
Somebody asked Cindric Marks the other day, what does it mean that Chris Clemens is not around here for OTAs? And he answered that it doesn't really matter much because he's a veteran and, and he'll be ready. I guess that's the feeling in the whole room.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like you said, he's been in the game 12 years. So I think Clem knows what it takes to get his body ready. And Clem's, you know, Clem knows this system. So, you know, he'll be ready when he gets back. And, you know, we're looking forward to him coming back.
Take us through your normal day right now, Ryan, during OTAs, on a practice day at least, because we know what happens on the weekend, and it's not a lot, right? But on the last 2-3 days, what time you're here, when are meetings, you're on the field for 2 hours, what happens?
I usually get up at 6 in the morning, come in, go, you know, get a little treatment on whatever, nicks and bruises, and meetings start at 8, practice starts at, 9:30, and we're out there for a couple hours, and once we finish up with that, meetings at like 12:50 all the way to 2 o'clock, and then we're done. And after that, I pretty much take a nap when I get home, and I wake up, watch the basketball games. And after that, I go back to sleep, wake up and do it again at 6. So that's pretty much been my schedule so far daily.
Yeah. So that's during the week?
That's during the week.
So what happens on the weekend?
During the weekend, I usually, if I'm not hanging with my friends, that I went to college with, I'm usually at home trying to catch up on sleep, really. So if I don't do that, then, yeah, I'm probably with my friends hanging out somewhere.
Is that in town? You go back to Daytona?
That's in town. That's in Jacksonville. Okay. Yeah, I don't really leave too much because I don't want to put a lot of miles on my car. I don't want to move around a lot, but I'm pretty much in town, you know, the whole time.
I mean, for goodness sake, you can afford a new car now, right?
I like Dodge Challenger. Hit me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like that one, so I kind of want to keep it.
Keep it for a while. Yeah. So back and forth to Daytona is a bad idea. Ryan Davis is with us live in studio just after the third OTA practice. There's Dante Fowler, Jr. You've been around him a bit now. Mm-hmm. He got surgery yesterday over in Pensacola, but what was your initial impression of him when you first met him?
Oh, man, this kid right here, he's energetic. Energetic guy, very fun to be around so far. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to him. You know, thoughts and prayers go out to him. I definitely excited to have him, you know what I'm saying? So, this year, man, without having him out there, we're going to miss him out there, but at the same time, we know what we got to do. And, you know, we know we can, you know, get things accomplished with this group that we have now.
You got things accomplished last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys had over 40 sacks last year as a group on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Status quo isn't that bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you're right. But, you know, Dante, you know, he would have added another element to it. I think we would have gotten even better. So not to say that we're not getting better now, but, you know, adding him, it would have been a plus. But thoughts and prayers go out to him, and, you know, we're excited about what we have to do this year.
Ryan Davis is with us live in studio, Jaguars defensive end. All right, we're going to go inside the Jaguars locker room now, okay?
Okay.
Your locker is in between whom? Who are you next to?
Oh, I'm in between Tyson and Cindric. I'm in between them.
Those are two totally different personalities.
Totally
right?
Different. Totally different personalities. But I kind of match I'm kind of the medium. I'm like a little bit of Tyson, a little bit of Cindric, and there's me. So it worked out perfect.
Cindric, we heard from the Tennessee beat writer earlier that it was one of the best interviews in Tennessee, too. Everybody goes to Cindric's locker. That's the way he is. Yeah. He talks. He gives good answers. He's great.
He does.
Tyson gives great answers, too, but just a little lower, quieter scene over there, right?
He definitely is a little more quiet than the rest of us. But, you know, I think I'm like a mix in between both of them. I can be quiet and energetic in one moment, so it's definitely fun being in between those guys and getting to talking with them and joking around and stuff like that.
Is this energetic right now? What is
this right here? This right here is like recovering from practice, you know, getting ready to go get in the cold tub, like powering down a little bit.
Oh.
Probably after I take my nap, I'll probably be back up, you know, energetic, getting ready to. Oh, no games on today, so I can't even watch the games. I don't even know what to do. I might go to the movies today.
Catch
a movie. The San Andreas early premiere is showing today. So I think I might go check that out today. Probably like at 8 o'clock or something like that.
You're a big movie guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love
the movies. I love the movies. I go to movies all the time by myself, too.
How was American Sniper? Did you see that one? I never saw that one.
I did see American Sniper. And it was great. I didn't know about the story either until the end of the movie. And it's kind of like, dang.
Don't tell me the ending. I haven't seen
you're
it
right,
yet.
You're right.
I
mean, you're right. But, you know, that was a great movie. Though. I liked it. I really did.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
That's good news. Ryan Davis is with us in studio. So, okay, cold tub today. Players off tomorrow?
No, we still come in tomorrow.
Meetings tomorrow?
Tomorrow is more of a phase one schedule, so we'll come in meetings and stuff like that and get rehab with Milo. Yep.
Good. Mm-hmm. And you're in doing weights in the mornings and stuff.
Yep.
This is – you came in the league a lot differently than Dante Fowler came in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're an undrafted guy. You had to work your way up. You've earned a job here. Does that change your view of guys that come into a locker room new, like a draft pick or somebody that comes in? Or how do you – I guess, does it change your interaction at all with them, or that you've had to come a different way up the ladder? It's a broad question.
Not really. I mean, you know, coming up the way I did, you know, it kind of tries to creep in the back of your mind. But at the same time, you know, I know what I can do, and I know, you know, what I bring to the table and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, overall, I think everybody, you know, has to, you know, really just focus on themselves and stuff like that. You really can't control, you know what you can't. You know, my friend told me, control the things you can control, so the things you don't have control of won't have control over you. So that's all I've been really doing. And, you know, so it really doesn't change my view of, you know, who comes into the locker room and whatnot. I just know what I have to do. And, you know, opportunity presents itself. I know I have to capture the opportunity and, you know, let the rest happen how it may.
Ryan Davis is with us. A couple more questions for you. I know you got to get in the cold tub.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too. I'm sore.
It's okay. We got some time until, like, 12:30, so I'm okay.
Oh, we'll stay on late, then.
Hey, man, that's
the
cool.
The guys after us can wait.
That's cool with me. That's cool with me.
Let's do it the next 2 hours. Who do you talk to, then? Who's your, you know, like, a mentor in the business for you? And is there somebody, in your, you know, maybe outside of football that you can call and ask stuff like that?
You know, outside of Coach Wash and the guys, you know, in the locker room, Sin Derek and all those guys. Outside of that, I really have a close-knit group of guys that, you know, just kind of keep it real with me. You know, call ourselves the Wolf Pack. You know, we are
the
like,
Wolf Pack.
The Wolf Pack.
What are you a running back now?
No,
they
man.
Have that nickname a
no,
couple
not
of
that
ago?
Wolf. Not that Wolf Pack. We kind of formed it in college. You know, it's a group of six of us. We were just real tight. You know, we got real tight in college. We all play ball together. So, I really talk with those guys, and they kind of you know tell me what's real and you know, they just kind of keep me to the ground. And then outside of that, it's my mother. I always talk to my mother about every situation, and we'll talk on the phone, and she just keep me encouraged if I'm feeling down or if I'm happy. And, you know, I just share news with her. So, really outside of locker room, that's who I, you know, talk to and, you know, really, you know, get personal with. Yeah.
I know you're excited to play in Tampa this year. You have to be, right?
Oh, I'm very excited.
It's your hometown.
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited. My mom and family already been talking about tickets already.
So I'm like, how many tickets will you leave for the Tampa Bay game?
Man, I don't know. I'm going to pay for a lot of tickets. I would say at least like 50, 60 tickets. At least.
Wow.
At least.
And you got to pay for them, too. They're not just comp tickets.
Well, I might. Hold on. Hold on. Let me take this back. I might pay for them. Because my mom was getting everybody to order their tickets now, like in advance, so I won't have to foot the bill for so much. But I will foot the bill for, you know, those that are real, like, you know, family, in immediate family. So
50, at least 50.
At least it'll be at least 50 or 60 people there. So, but I probably won't pay for 50, 60 tickets. Put it like that.
Well, that's good because they can get expensive.
Yes, they can.
So even for NFL players.
They'll be all right. So they can plan it out right now and. And they'll be okay.
They won't be alone, too. From what we hear, there's nearly 1,000 Bold City Brigade members going to the Tampa game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well,
I don't know if you interact with those guys.
That's awesome. I don't think I have interacted with them yet. So, I really got to get in. I really have to now.
You need to.
Now that you mention it.
They're going right down the road. Now, you're on Twitter, right? You don't go on Twitter much, though, do you?
I'm on there. I don't tweet every day, but I'm on there, though. Like, I probably tweet, like, every other day or something like
what
that.
What is it?
At Big Davis 813.
At Big Davis 813.
Yep, the Tampa area code, yep.
Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm, I couldn't figure that out,
that was. Tampa area code, yep.
Well, now you know.
Yep.
And now you can interact with Ryan Davis on Twitter. Go get in the cold tub. We appreciate your time. It's great to visit with you as always.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Davis, Jaguars defensive end, joining us on Jaguars Today. Great job, as always. He's a pleasure to speak to in that locker room. And he's right. He is about a happy medium between Tyson Alualu and Sin-Derek Marks. And he sits right between them. It makes sense now. Sin-Derek has the hair. He's got the teeth. He's got the personality. He's got it all. Tyson is very quiet, reserved, you know, a different way of going about it. That's fine. And Ryan is right there in the middle. And that is, it's great to, you know, he's worked his way up too. As an undrafted guy, he's from the Tampa area, went to Bethune-Cookman. I mean, not many NFL, the cornerback from here is from Bethune-Cookman. Longtime cornerback. Rasheen Mathis, that's what I'm thinking of. But in history, they don't have a long lineage of NFL talent coming out of Bethune-Cookman. He goes there as a wide receiver, changes positions to defensive end at a 1AA historically black college, and then works his way into the NFL and finds a role as an undrafted guy, and now he's a key part of this Jaguars defense, playing the second Leo going around with Clemens last year with Branch down, moves to the inside on third downs, and with his speed, quick hands, can get past guards and interior linemen. So he's been a big part of it. Good visit with Ryan Davis. Big Davis 813 on Twitter. We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Today. Not much left on the show, actually. Got one more big segment here coming up. We'll listen to some sound from OTAs as the week has gone along. JP Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today rolls along from Everbank Field. JP Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey is dealing with car issues today in St. Augustine. We had him on earlier. Our thanks to him for coming on his own show today. That's good. Fat Tony is out nursing a shoulder. Not sure how he got the shoulder injury, but they should be back in the fold, I would guess, tomorrow on Jaguars Today. The third OTA practice is over. They finished a little earlier today. They went on the field at 9:35, but they were done about 5 after 11 today. We had Ryan Davis on in studio. Our thanks to the Jaguars defensive end for joining us. Also, John Osier, Frank Frangie were on earlier today as well. Jim Wyatt, beat writer for the Titans for the Tennessean in Nashville, talked about the quarterback issue in Nashville, which it's been the last couple of years. So our thanks to all those guys for coming on with us today. A little bit of sound from OTA practices this week. They started on Tuesday, went yesterday as well, and today. Next week there are 3 more OTA practices, though they can't be 3 consecutive days. I think there's 2 on and a day off and then another day. And then 4 practices scheduled for the third week of OTAs, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday's an off day. Thursday's the 9th OTA practice, and then Friday would be the 10th. But historically, the 10th OTA practice is either very short, an hour or less, or cut off right after stretch. And the last couple of years, the team has gone out and done a team-building type of event somewhere. I think last year they were at Latitude 30 bowling and playing video games. I remember playing skee-ball. I was there on the last day of OTAs, actually. So that's coming up the next couple of weeks. But we heard from Gus Bradley yesterday on Jaguars.com about what he wants to get out of these OTAs.
Good day, both offensively and defensively. Defensively, I thought their practice compared to yesterday much better. Had a couple of interceptions. Guys were flying around. We're still in that installation phase, so learning some new things. But some younger guys, Greg Lawson, saw him do some good things. Thurston, linebacker, you talked about some rookies, how they're doing. He's showing up. He's got good length. He's picking things up pretty fast. On offense, again, another day of insulation for them as well. I see it just more precision. You know, guys lining up, knowing the shifts and motions. Right now, that's what we're looking at because there is some newness to the offense. Body language, I think, is important. You know, how they handle adversity. So they seem to be doing a pretty good job. I appreciate their efforts in these last 2 days. So we need to finish off strong tomorrow. 3 days in a row in OTAs, that's going to be a challenge. You know, usually you give a day off and they're in between. But we'll strain them a little bit, see how it goes, and go from there.
Gus Bradley yesterday after the second OTA practice. You know, we've had a lot of talk about the offense, you know, Julius Thomas and Blake Bortles and all that, but not much talk about the offensive line and the defensive line. There's just, the reason being, there's not a lot that you can really get out. There's no pads. You can really tell a lot more come training camp when the pads are on. But it's a big time for Zane Beatles because, I guess what? There's a perceived competition there now at left guard. Beatles, and admittedly, you'll hear it from him at some point, it didn't play great last year, finished stronger than he started. And they drafted A.J. Cann to maybe be the next guard of some kind on this team. But could it be this year? Well, the word is Zane Beatles looks a lot better, at least early in the OTA process, according to Gus.
Pretty good. You know what? I'll give credit. Here's Zane Beatles. He comes in here last year. You know, obviously gets paid, you know, whatever, as a free agent. But, and, you know, that's what got him to this point. I know that he's changed his stance, changed his footwork, some things like that. That's hard for somebody to do when they came here as a free agent and got taken care of for what they've done. So I appreciate what he's done, and it's helping him. I think he's gaining his confidence back. Not that he, I think in the middle part of the season it was a little rough. He started gaining at the end, but I think he's back right now.
Gus Bradley yesterday, those from Jaguars.com. By the way, if you want to hear more Gus on Jaguars.com, it went up this morning. The Jags Wired segment. He was mic'd up on the practice field on Tuesday. So check it out on Jaguars.com right now. We also had Blake Bortles in studio on Jaguars.com Live Wednesday. That's archived on the website. And this show is archived every single day, of course, and Jaguars Thursday radio tonight. That'll be archived on the site coming up tomorrow as well. Let's hear from Julius Thomas, the Jaguars tight end. We talked a lot about him early in the show today and maybe the expectations. Should they be tempered a bit here? Well, his role is a bit different than has been in the past. He's one of the older guys, really, on the offense, especially guys running out trying to catch passes. He's going into his fifth year now, so he's, on this team at least, very much a veteran. So the role is different. He's coming in now to help young guys come along. And Julius said yesterday how he plans on changing that role and helping young guys on this team.
You know, most of my career I was always, you know, looking up and learning from a lot of guys that'll be in the Hall of Fame one day. You know, that was greatly appreciated, and I was happy for that. And now I'm just going to do what I can and, you know, help some more young people along. I think I definitely didn't take it for granted. The time that some really good players spent to help me understand the game and life. You know, I want to be able to be that for anybody here that I can.
And for Julius, the process will continue through OTAs. He was out again today with the calf, kicked in the calf yesterday, did not practice. But he's excited for this group around him on this Jaguars offense.
You know, it's a process. You've got to love the preparation aspect of it. And, you know, we just started the beginnings of that. So some things look really good. Some things are going to need a little bit more coaching. But I think the spirits are good. And I'm very impressed and excited about the talent we have.
Julius Thomas yesterday after the second OTA practice. Let's get to some news and notes from today. Ryan O'Halloran tweeting earlier that Gus Bradley does not expect Chris Clemons next week at practice. So that storyline, though, is it really a storyline? It'll continue whether it is or not, apparently. Chris Clemons didn't come last year until, I think, midway through OTAs. Turned out okay and led the team in sacks a year ago, but he's not expected to be here next week. Julius Thomas set out today. And Clay Harbor apparently is out for the next couple of weeks with a calf injury. There's still a competition, but by default, I guess he's the third tight end now with Mercedes around and, of course, Julius Thomas around as well. Hey, earlier we had the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day, and the question was about Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles threw 11 touchdowns, 17 interceptions as a rookie. What will his numbers be in those categories this year? And plenty of great responses today, both on Facebook, on the Jaguars Today page, and on Twitter using the hashtag Jaguars Today. But in all the responses that we saw, we didn't see any response that had more interceptions than touchdowns. Everybody's glass is half full. That's great news. That's good news. Josh Richburg saying 23 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, you know, 22 and 12 a few times. A few folks still in the teens for both, but a lot of folks right around that 20 touchdown mark, it seemed. which seems, I mean, you get 23 or 24, that's right around the franchise record. I mean, that tells you what kind of year. And if he's throwing 23, 24 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, that means they're throwing the ball a lot, too. Others kind of tempered their expectations with totals in the teens because maybe the running game will be a little more prevalent than folks seem to think, at least on Facebook and Twitter today, which could make sense. They still, we've heard Gus Bradley say it before, this still needs to be a run type of attack to help Blake be able to put up some numbers and get it to those weapons on the outside. And another new running back can help out that cause, too, and some new faces on the offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back in year two. A long way to go. It's May, of course. The third OTA practice is done. But as you heard Blake say yesterday on Jaguars.com Live, he feels comfortable with the updated mechanics and seems he studied more for this offense, he told us yesterday, than he has for any test or school in his life combined. So we'll see. It's early in the process, and Blake Bortles, 11 touchdowns, 17 picks in a shortened year. He didn't play the whole season, of course. Week three came in. It's got to be better, right? It's got to be better than last year. And that's everybody's thought, it seems like, almost to a person on the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. That'll about do it for the show today. Our thanks to Tyler Devitt back in the studio, by the way. We'll have one more short segment coming up. Joe Fortunato here. Thanks to our guests as well. That'll do it for now. Jaguars today. JP Shadrick in for Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.